W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Negotiations to avoid a government shutdown on October 1st are not going well on Capitol Hill. A stopgap measure to keep it funded through November passed the House but failed to clear the Senate. Political reporter Anthony Adragna on what it might look like and who would be affected.
There are a host of implications here if the government shuts down. Everything from national parks being shut down, people not getting their Social Security, and other benefits in the mail. The impacts are really pretty widespread.
That immigration enforcement crackdown in the Chicago area is causing protests that turned violent yesterday, and demonstrators say they will continue to target a detention center in Broadview, Illinois. ICE denies that officers are using excessive force, but a Chicago alderman claims the agents are trying to provoke activists to justify calling in the National Guard. This person was overcome by tear gas.
Even though I did get hit pretty bad, and it was pretty overwhelming and very scary. It's nothing compared to what happened in there.
This, as the Department of Homeland Security is threatening Illinois, New York, and California with lawsuits and funding cuts if the states refuse to hold migrants for ICE. CBS News politics coordinator Zach Hudak.
At issue are immigration detainers, which are requests from Immigration and Customs Enforcement that local law enforcement temporarily hold a person in custody for up to 48 hours after their scheduled release so that ICE can take them into its own custody and potentially remove them from the country. In letters obtained by CBS News, DHS warned California, New York, and Illinois that if the states refuse to honor immigration detainers, it could trigger legal action from the Department of Justice.
The U.S. military has carried out another fatal strike against alleged drug smugglers. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains.
President Trump says this latest military strike killed three people. On social media, the president wrote, quote, "Intelligence confirmed the vessel was trafficking illicit narcotics and was transiting along a known narco-trafficking passage en route to poison Americans," unquote. Two previous military strikes this month against alleged drug smuggling boats in the same region have killed 14 people.
No recommendations from a CDC vaccine advisory panel about COVID shots this fall. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder has details.
It will be incumbent on you to ask your healthcare provider, and that includes pharmacists in retail pharmacies like CVS or Walgreens, but it will be incumbent on you to ask for the COVID shot.
But there's a new COVID-19 variant spreading rapidly in the nation, and also CDC data shows at least 29 states are reporting high to very high levels of COVID in wastewater. That includes California. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Parents in Wisconsin are more stressed than ever, and one in four say they don't get the social and emotional support they need. That's according to a UW-Milwaukee report. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Professor Liz Sharda with Hope College says parenting stress represents a mismatch between demands and available resources exacerbated by self-reliant nuclear family models.
So this expectation that we have to do it all, that we have to be everything for our children and for our family system. And those expectations are kind of operating in a context of a real decrease in social connection and increase in loneliness.
Sharda says moving back to a society that embraces collective care could help to ease the burden on parents. That includes building support networks before they're urgently needed and shifting expectations about parenting to ensure both caregivers and children are getting the support they need. Collective care is grounded in interdependence and belonging and involves seeing others' well-being as a shared responsibility rather than an individual burden. This can range from formal arrangements such as co-housing communities, to informal neighbor relationships. Sharda says families with stronger connections to others demonstrate greater resilience in handling both daily stress and crises. She emphasizes the value of having multiple people committed to a child's well-being, offering diverse strengths beyond what individual parents can provide. Sharda stresses that this parenting epidemic needs macro-level solutions.
We also need systemic and structural changes too. We need support for policies that make connection possible. So it's not just an individual problem or a family level problem, but a societal problem too.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today. Highs in the upper 60s. Lows in the upper 50s tonight with scattered storms. And a few showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 72. 55 Sunday night. 72 again on Monday with an afternoon storm possible.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17. All coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network, and have I got a show for you? I am so excited to be sitting down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. Mark, it's so good to be here.
Hi. So this is the first time. I've never met you. This is the first time I'm meeting you. I'm really excited that you're here. Hey, thanks.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
So I was excited to come and, you know, whenever I have... I always want a reason to leave Madison.
Oh, yes.
And this is a good one. And it's also... on a Packer game day,
it is.
Which is like, it doesn't get better than that.
So the first time that I kind of paid attention, I was like, oh, this, she's freaking cool, was when a dear friend of mine was running for re-election in Door County, Mr. Caleb Frostman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you guys did like a video of, it was like a sarcastic, like skipping down the streets.
We were knocking on doors together. Yes.
And so
we're
door
knocking is fun. Everyone should do it with us.
Yes. And so I was texting Caleb and I'm like, she's awesome. Like, hell yeah. Like, that's cool. So that's my Sarah Godlewski story. So I'm glad that you're here and we could talk about our dear friend Caleb, and he's doing very well in Madison. So and
tell him if he's listening, we miss him. So
I know
he was a great asset in the legislature.
I hope
in the
he's
Senate.
Not done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I asked him that before, and he's like, "Don't talk to me about that."
Right.
Like, come on, Caleb.
Well, he's busy now. What, getting married?
I know.
And you know, like starting that chapter.
Yeah, and
his
he's
life,
such a good person.
I know.
He's just genuinely good dude.
And I'm just on the side note, Caleb, if you're listening, I'm waiting for my hunting trip. So we have talked about this a few times as well. So anytime I can go out there, I'm ready for it.
There you go, Caleb. Senator Frostman. Yes. So you're here. You've got some exciting news that you've recently announced.
Just announced my run for to be Wisconsin's next lieutenant governor.
Holy cow.
I'm really excited about it.
That's amazing. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to talk about... What is your origin story? How did you get into this crazy arena?
Well, I'll tell you, I never thought I would be sitting here as your Secretary of State, let alone previously, Mark, before that, your state treasurer.
Yes.
But I'm, I'm from the Chippewa Valley, fifth generation Wisconsinite. My parents are actually retired public school teachers. So shout out to all of our public school teachers out there. I know that work is not easy. But something that my parents would always talk about, they'd be like, you know, Sarah, when you see something wrong, you got to stand up and do something about it. And believe it or not, Mark, my story in public office started with that and Scott Walker. You know?
Who?
Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy. Hey, he's not running for governor.
Thank God.
Yeah, right.
I think we're all glad about that. Uh-huh. But he, you know, in a lot of his many great ideas, he tried to get rid of the state treasurer's office.
Yes, he did.
Because who needs checks and balances, Mark, in government?
Yes.
And as somebody who was doing a lot of financial work, particularly access to capital, because the amount of money Silicon Valley was getting in one day is what Wisconsin was getting in an entire year.
Really?
Which is wild. Like,
that is crazy.
We run on Main Street, not on Wall Street.
Right.
Mark. And so I was like, oh my God, the state treasurer should try to do more local investment and more local work. And come to find out, Scott Walker was trying to get rid of that office. And, you know, found myself running the Save Our Fiscal Watchdog ballot measure. Oh, wow. And it was a bipartisan coalition.
Okay.
Traveled the state talking about what the state treasurer should and could be doing. And my husband's like, God bless you, Sarah. Call me when this is over. What other trouble are you going to get in?
Yeah.
And we won with a supermajority.
Yeah.
And so then the next question was, okay, well, who's going to run for this office?
Right.
And I remember, I don't know how your grandma is or was, Mark, but mine, she was part of the first group of women to serve during World War II. You know, a pretty like trailblazer. And I was like, Grandma, I don't know. I'm a political nobody from the Chippewa Valley. Like, my parents aren't political. Like, how can I run for a statewide office? It's 6 million people. And she's like, Sarah, don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. She's like, just do it. And I was like, all right, Grandma, I think I can do it. So, yeah. And then in 2018, I actually flipped more Trump counties than the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general as a political nobody from the Chippewa Valley.
Holy crap.
She just never know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So that was kind of my entree, I think, into where we are today.
No kidding. I'm going to do a cheap plug for my grandma because the day we're recording this, today is her 90th birthday.
Is her 90th today? Happy birthday, Grandma.
That is a true story.
Oh my gosh.
And she was a school teacher as well.
She was.
She taught special ed way back in the day when those kids, in quotes, were not allowed in the school. And so she had to teach them in a RV in the parking lot of the schools.
No way.
Yes. And so she has stories of it being really cold and all of that kind of stuff. So she was can I say this on the radio? She was a badass.
She was.
Can I say that?
I feel like you're
getting the thumbs up on that. Yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and move. But yes.
I would agree.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday, Grandma. And thank you, Grandma, for what we're doing for our kids.
Yeah.
And paving the way.
So, yeah, you know, it was funny. When I was, I used to be a chairman of the Republican Party, and I remember in some of those races we would have candidates for those offices saying, I'm running for a state treasurer, and I'm running to fire myself. And, you know, they're like, yeah, right. You're shrugging like, that's kind of the same thing. I'm like, okay.
But Mark, my question for you even back then is like, for the party that talks about checks and balances.
Yes.
And like
fiscal responsibility.
Yes. Respect the Constitution.
Yes.
Respect the founding fathers. How does one just say, you know what? I'm just going to get rid of that office because we don't need that. Like, it just seems wild to me.
It was wild. And, you know, it was always kind of off-putting for me because I was always a moderate, you know, then. I still am, but like, you know, to try to understand, like, well, that's weird. And then, you know, they're not based in truth, you know, and being genuine about what they believe and all of that. So, you know, it sounds cool to say, I'm going to fire myself. It sounds cool to say, you know, Secretary La Follette, you know, was the Secretary of State and his only job was to keep the seal of the state of Wisconsin. And he lost it. I remember, you know, we had some weird ones.
Right. I think what I just find fascinating is, to your point, this attack on these constitutional offices, which to me is just a power grab.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, the reason why the Constitution of Wisconsin was developed the way it was is that everybody needed a responsibility to help ensure checks and balances.
Yes.
Whether it was the, you know, Secretary of State working on checks and balances from an operational perspective or the treasurer with the chief financial officer of the state. And we look at what's happening now at the federal level and we see how important these checks and balances are. Because you can just be railroaded by some authoritarian president that just is railroading the law. And so the more folks we have being that checks and balance, I think the better.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's wild. And I think this is interesting too, is when Scott Walker was governor, there were no checks, nor were there balances.
Correct.
And it was very interesting. I think really super telling when a check slash balance decided to show themselves in the statewide offices that you were part of.
Yep.
That's when they found their morality and the Republican side. And they said, you know, boy, the governor, he has too much power. Right. Do you remember that? Like, right. Wild that you would think that now that Tony Evers was elected. Wild.
Right. But, let's not forget, at the end of 2018, Scott Walker launched the lame duck.
Yes, he sure did.
Which took
and
away.
And what a lame duck it was.
Right. And tried to take away. Yeah. I mean, more powers from, you know, giving the legislature more power at the expense of, again, these independently elected constitutional officers like the governor and like the attorney general.
Yes.
So,
how has that been being on? I mean, like, literally, now finally the supermajorities are gone in the state house.
Right.
How has that been being the only buffer? You know?
Yeah. I mean,
one of three?
Great.
Four?
There is, it's the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and myself right now. I mean, I will say that it's incredibly challenging in a way that we're trying to day in and day out just do our job. You know, I look at my Secretary of State job, Mark, and I actually run on my own revenue. So the money that I use to run my office is not from tax dollars. It's actually from work that I do. Mm-hmm. One of the responsibilities is that if you, like with international work, so you think about if you'd ever want to expand your business or if you would want to adopt a child or you want to study abroad, you have to get those papers validated through my office. You can't get it done by Minnesota or Michigan or Illinois. And yet we are not funded to do any of that work at all.
Why not?
Apparently the legislature doesn't think that's important.
Let's delve into that.
And so, which is completely insane. And so when I got there, can you imagine if you're a family that just finally heard that you can adopt a child that you've wanted for so long, and then you go to the Secretary of State and there is a month long wait? Mm-hmm. That's not showing up and delivering. But what's frustrating is it's not that we don't have the money to do that work. The legislature just takes all of it.
Right.
And once again, in a power grab to try to take away at the expense of what Wisconsinites need.
Right. Yeah. We're talking with Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. It's wild to kind of see those things of, you know, we're going to take away your budget, and then we're going to take away the people that work for you,
right?
And we're going to put you into the basement, and then you know all these little childish games that were played, all in the effort of just we're going to own the libs and keep on to our power.
It's wrong. But here's the thing, Arca, I will tell you is that growing up, and I think being a Wisconsinite, we're scrappy.
Yes,
and to me, whenever they tell me what I can't do, I just go and show them what I can do.
Cool, watch
kind
me.
Of thing. Like, yeah. I'm like, watch me.
Yes.
And so, you know, like we modernize the office. Now we have services that are all accessible online. I mean, we have provided record-breaking distributions to public schools.
Yes.
We have provided almost $1 billion to communities to help rebuild, and things like helping to buy, whether it's fire trucks that they need, or helping with community safety initiatives. Like, you name it, we're helping to do those kind of fundings. And so just because they gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone and might have turned off my Wi-Fi when I joined.
Track phone.
When I was elected,
did
I said,
"Did they really turn off?"
I had no Wi-Fi when I got into my office. It was a real welcome party. All right, great. You know what? You're going to try to stop me, but it's not going to work.
Wow.
So
that's wild.
Here we are.
So to the people that were running for Secretary of State, you don't just sit at your desk and stare at the seal of the state of Wisconsin.
No. Okay. You are talking.
That's so good to know.
Day in and day out. Yes. You are. I mean, I think we are one of the most busiest building, like offices in the Capitol, because people are coming in day in and day out to get these services done.
That's awesome. So that's what you do. And we're going to talk about some of the announcement that you made and
right.
how that's going. And maybe another cheap shout out to Caleb Frostman here as we get to the break. I'm going to have to tell him, he better listen to this one.
He's got to listen to this one. Yeah, right. And hello to Emily, his fiance.
Yes.
So we're a big fan of her too.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So yeah, I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm excited to take this conversation forward here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, and we will be right back.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Mom, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotion. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom. It's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion, and their customers are paying for it. Well, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. Consequently, they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Dial #250 and say the words micro, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250 micro. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We're sitting down with Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And so what have you been up to lately? Anything new?
Well, a little less than 3 weeks ago, yeah. Mark, I announced that I'm running to be Wisconsin's next lieutenant governor.
Yes. which would be awesome.
Which would be incredible.
Yes.
It was really funny, though. My sisters, when I was making this decision about doing this work, I called them and I said, Anna, Laura, I'm the oldest of three.
Yep.
And I go, so I'm thinking I'm going to go run for lieutenant governor. And my sisters are like, great. And my one sister goes, so Sarah, if you win, that means that you will have won three executive offices. Yeah. They're like, is that some sort of trophy you're going after? Or like, what's this about? And yeah. I said, only if it's a trophy for cleaning up after Republicans. And I'm like, I'm ready for it. So, yeah, but I think for me, Mark, it's always been about what is the best way in which I can serve. And when I have been traveling across the state, I mean, people are fed up with certain, like with a lot of things that are going on. You know, most recently I was sharing how I was talking to a group of nurses, and they were talking about how they can't afford a home in the neighborhood and that they serve, but yet they're watching these billionaires write off their second and third vacation home. And they're like, what's going on? You know, or I was talking to a mom who was a server, and she was working two to three jobs just to make sure she can, you know, stay ahead. And that's not, to me, I think, the Wisconsin that we want. You know, we people should be able to have one good paying job and be able to buy a home and be able to build a future. Folks should be able to get health care and not make it a debt sentence for them. Or even like I think about, I'm a mom of a 5 year old, Mark. And like one of the most important things that I love so much about Wisconsin is our clean lakes. Being able to swim. And yet we're seeing PFAS, these forever chemicals. Like, what's going to be left for his generation? And if we don't stop standing up and fighting against this now, then what's going to happen?
You know, we had, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez on, and she's running for governor. And so, like, you know, what was the time, like, how, not the timing, but like, so you, she announced, and then you're like, ting,
I mean, I think for a long time, everybody in the state of Wisconsin was wondering, will Governor Evers run again?
And he's been great.
He's been a great governor. I'll never forget one of my favorite Governor Evers story is when we were running, when he was running for governor and I was running for treasurer, we all got on his school bus. And it was a pretty bumpy ride because we were going from Sheboygan up to Green Bay. And what we like to call, we were facing a lot of Scott holes. That was during the Scott, at the Scott Walker administration. And he, on our way up, we went to Plymouth, where he is from. And it also is the cheese capital of Wisconsin. So Governor Evers got out and like we took a picture by the cow and then he proceeded to talk to me about all the different cheeses and like he worked and like what it meant. And then afterwards he's like, Sarah, we've got a little bit more time. Let's play a game of euchre. So there we were on the bus playing a game of euchre. Which I don't think it gets more Wisconsin than that. But I think, you know, going back to it, a lot of us were wondering, he loves Wisconsin. He is so very much Wisconsin. He's really Wisconsin's governor in so many ways. Will he run again? And then when he decided, which I totally understand.
What a selfless thing.
For eight plus years, because he was superintendent of public instruction for over 8 years as well. And so you think about it, he has given up so much for so long. I understand why he decided not to. But it then became a question of, okay, what can I best do? And is there a way that I can best serve Wisconsin? And to me, I've always been a very team player type of person. And the lieutenant governor, I think, is a really important part of the team that actually can really address some of these really complex problems. Because when you look at it, Mark, like we're not going to like one person isn't going to solve healthcare. One person isn't going to solve the like, you know, affordability issues or inflation or, you know, like worried about public schools. It's going to be a team. And I just really look forward to being on that team and being a part of a team to get these things done.
I have to share a quick Tony Evers story.
Tony Evers story.
We were, for whatever reason, I got a call. This was during the time where Kamala Harris was running, and I got a call to help out their campaign. And I did. And I didn't expect anything of it. But then I got another call saying, hey, do you want to meet the vice president? And I was like, holy crap. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it was the event with Rippon, with Liz Cheney. And I knew Charlie Sykes was going to be there. And so it was like myself and Charlie Sykes. And then Tony Evers walks in. And he's like, well, would you look at this crowd? You know, and Charlie's like, well, sorry about that. You know, and he sat down with us, literally sat down with us. There was nobody, no staff. They were all out there. And we talked, just shot the BS for an hour. And talked about how, you know, coming together and how we can, you know, it's just what a What an awesome, selfless, like, real person.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, so I think he will be missed. But I think the cool thing is there are some really wonderful people that can go forward into the, okay, well, now what? Oh, we've got a good bench.
We've got a really, really good bench. And I think that's something that Wisconsin is just very lucky about, is when you look at the folks that have announced or want to announce for governor, and even the folks that I've talked to that are running for like Secretary of State and like these other statewide offices, it's a really talented group of people that have experience that I think can really help us continue to move the state forward.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so many of the voices, I think yours is critically important too, are adored by people on both sides. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment here. On the Rational Revolution with me, Mark Becker, and your fearless Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, here on the Rational Revolution, the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Mountaineer on Air.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. A government shutdown is looking more likely as lawmakers on Capitol Hill have failed, so far, to reach an agreement on a spending bill that could affect some operations, including some not getting Social Security in the mail, political reporter Anthony Adraga.
The House was able to advance their legislation on effectively a party line vote. So really, all the action here is in the Senate. You're going to need about 7 Democrats to join with Republicans to advance anything.
The Department of Homeland Security says 3 people were arrested when protesters clashed with ICE agents in suburban Chicago. This demonstrator says
they took someone, and that's why I'm here. It's because they're taking people in there, and we have no idea what's happening.
A CDC vaccine advisory panel declined to recommend this fall's COVID-19 vaccinations, this pediatrician says.
It's very confusing for my families. You know, I talk to families every single day. What's the best thing we're supposed to do? Oh, my goodness.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
It's the Crew in the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers square off again tonight against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Milwaukee coming up short last night, 7-1. Manager Pat Murphy on why he pulled first-year starter Jacob Mizorowski out of the game after allowing 2 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks in 3 2/3 innings.
This is a work in progress. You know, this young man came up and set the world on fire and just got in a groove and... right now, he just needs our support.
The Cubs lost to the Reds, so the Brewers' magic number is now at 3 to clinch the NL Central Division. NFL, the Packers take on the Browns at noon tomorrow in Cleveland. The Packers' Micah Parsons says this will be the first time he's ever faced the Browns' 40-year-old quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Man, really just getting after Flacco. You know, I kind of like the name the Hunter. I haven't had Flacco yet. I need him. I want him. It's time to go get him.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today, highs in the upper 60s, lows in the upper 50s tonight with scattered storms, and a few showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 72. 55 Sunday night, 72 again on Monday with an afternoon storm possible.
It's 64 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. You got me, Mark Becker, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski running for Lieutenant Governor. Hey, if you like what you heard, hop over to civicmedia.us. You can like the show, subscribe, share, all where you get your podcasts. We're everywhere. But yeah, I think share this conversation because she could be your next Lieutenant Governor. It was interesting. We just spoke with the Lieutenant Governor.
Yep.
I didn't realize all this stuff that office does.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's really exciting about the Lieutenant Governor role in the state of Wisconsin is first, it's the second in command.
Yep.
Right. So when the governor leaves the state or when you've got to be ready to go. And I think that's an important quality that people want, somebody that they feel confident that can help lead the state. But then the other piece of it is it has to help be a leader in moving the agenda forward.
Yes.
And so I know, for example, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez's work with healthcare.
Yeah.
Right. And she really led a lot of that work with workforce development, which we know is really important. I mean, right here, we know in the Green Bay area, there's been a lot of attention to healthcare and what's going on. I was just actually talking to my parents in the Chippewa Valley, and my mom had a scare at the ER and they put her in the garage.
Nice.
Because they had no more space to work with patients. We're not talking about a developing country.
Right.
We're talking about Wisconsin.
Well, thank God it's warm out.
Correct. You know,
geez, Lord.
And this is what I think communities are facing. They want, we need to, address these challenges now before they get worse.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but going back, Sarah, in her work as Lieutenant Governor, she's been, I think, a big ally in kind of helping to create and fulfill that agenda.
What do you think the challenges we face as a state? What are those?
I mean, for starters...
How much time you got?
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say. Well, look, I think one thing that I just... I come from a financial background, so I can dork out all day about the kitchen table economics. Yeah. So we alone could do a whole
struggling
show on that. And here's the recent data came out, and in conversations with Wisconsinites, 60% of our state lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And so you think about it. Can you ever own a home when you already have to put $75,000 in a down payment? Where are you going to get that money from? And that, to me, is part of the American dream, and how you build wealth is you have to be able to buy a home. But yet that's out of reach for so many families.
Yes.
Or, I was talking to a group of families just a week ago, and they're like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to buy my school supplies.
Right.
Because school supplies have gone up because thanks to Donald Trump and the chaos of tariffs and inflation. But yet we're not making more money. I'm talking to teachers who are driving Uber on the weekend to make sure that they can finally maybe buy that home or make sure they make their home payment. And so to me, I think first and foremost, we have to continue to talk about affordability and how we want to deliver when it comes to making sure people have the resources they need to buy a home and at the same time address the cost of inflation with groceries and prices and gas prices to even looking at things like minimum wage and supporting Main Street. Because, again, if Silicon Valley is getting more money than everyday Wisconsinites, like, that's a problem because we run on Main Street, not on Wall Street. So to me, I think one of the front and center issues have to continue to be affordability and you live here because it's the best place to live, work and raise a family. But if people are being priced out, they're not going to be able to live here anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just looking at, you know, where Wisconsin is in terms of median income and all of that. You know, it's not great. And, you know, it's. Yeah, we need help.
Right.
I totally agree.
Right.
What, and I think what it's exciting too, because knock on wood, you know, there might be a little bit of a change in power. So Democrats might be able to, like, you know, get some things done.
Right, right, right. I'm very optimistic about that. I really am. I think one of the other areas that we have to have another conversation about is healthcare. We know it's one of the leading areas to why people go into debt. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, you're sitting here day in and day out arguing with your insurance company mm-hmm. about what procedures you can have, what prescriptions you should have. Yeah. Even though your doctor tells you that's what you need, you're arguing that with your insurance company. But at the same time, you're seeing record-breaking profits from these insurance companies.
Yeah.
And it should be about the overall care of individuals. And yet we're not, like, that isn't playing itself out. And so to me, there's a big issue there that we've got to start addressing. So it's not just about affordable access to healthcare. We also have a workforce challenge.
Yeah.
Because we need more doctors and nurses serving in these roles. But yet we know that when nurses aren't being paid their fair
share.
Would they? Yeah. Even though they like went through the pandemic for us,
right,
fought on the front lines, were there day in and day out, they still are like just trained. I mean, the group of nurses down in Dane County area were just talking about even basic safety measures for their well-being. Yeah. And so that is another big issue that we have to be able to figure out is how are we getting people to not just want to go into being nurses and being healthcare providers, but further like serving in our communities, particularly rural communities that we're seeing, rural clinics that are closing.
They're being decimated.
And are just being decimated. I mean, the Chippewa Valley lost two hospitals.
Yeah.
In less than like 24 months.
Yeah.
And so where are those folks going to drive? The Twin Cities, Minneapolis?
Why is that happening?
I think it comes down to they're not seeing the profit margins and at the expense of people's overall well-being. And to me, that's something that we've got to hit head on.
What can be done about that? You know, like if these are private companies, I mean, you can't tell them like to close your hospital, but it's like, and then you have tens of thousands of people that, if they have a life-threatening incident happen, we're going to go 3 hours?
Right.
Right. It's going to kill a lot of
people. No, it's going to. And look, like, we are the only country that has our workplace tied to our insurance provider.
Yeah.
You know, most places in the world, you can go and get your health care because when government is running health care or more involved, you have purchasing power.
Right.
You know, you think about the fact that we right now don't have purchasing power to buy prescription drugs.
Yeah.
Like, so we can't negotiate in the ways that we used to. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if Wisconsin would be more involved in pulling our purchasing power together to ensure that we had health care, that's a game changer.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that I was really impressed about that Governor Evers actually had in his budget was a pharmaceutical accountability board. Mm-hmm. Where it would look at where price gouging was happening for our prescription drugs, because Donald Trump took away the executive order to allow our Department of Health and Human Services to negotiate for drug prices.
Weird.
Because why would you just give power back to Big Pharma?
Right.
So basically, it would be our ability.
Does RFK know that?
I'm sure. Oh, boy. I mean, they were empowering Big Pharma. I think someone should let him know.
He'd be so pissed.
Like, but there's the shiny red dye, like, over here. But oh, meanwhile, he's giving Big Pharma. But no, I think that we could do a lot with just, like, pharmaceutical accountability and, like, the making sure they're not price gouging in that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that we can do to improve the cost of living and just improve people's lives. And I think for the first time in, what was that, 2012? So we're at what, 15 years?
Yeah.
We can have a government that listens to people and representatives that understand that they are responsible for their decisions, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right. So what else do you think you're able to do, and how can, well, let's do this. If someone wants to get involved, if someone wants to learn about you and what you're doing.
I mean, they can
I know you're going freaking everywhere.
We've already put 1,200 miles on the campaign.
Really?
So yeah. Nice. And showing up everywhere, Mark, like whether it's Merrill, Wisconsin or Berlin or Chippewa Falls, like to me, one of the, I think, biggest turnoffs is politicians just think folks are going to come to them. And I believe we've got to show up and meet people where they are. But the other big thing is the last thing you want is a politician just talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, we got to listen. Yeah. We've got to go to these communities and listen to what folks are, you know, keeping them up at night. And that, to me, is the best way we can build trust and really work on some of these issues collaboratively. Yeah, no, we've put on over 1,200 miles. And for folks that want to get involved or want to have us to their communities, because we're going everywhere, they can visit us at sarahforwisconsin.com. That's Sarah with an H. And it's all spelled out, Mark. So it's a super long website.
Nice.
But they can go there and send us an email or a note about whether it's any questions they have or even coming to visit them.
I think it's exciting to have people that are on the ballot as a Democrat, you know, on the team, that are able to reach across the aisle and have common sense discussions with people. I think it's really interesting because, you know, when you're able to do that, it kind of, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
How does that make sense? You're a Democrat.
Right.
Right. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah. I will. One of the things that I worked on in a bipartisan way was a piece of legislation called 401 Kids.
Oh, cool.
And it was about the day a kid is born, we'll give them a savings account.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll invest it like a retirement account. And so by the time that you're 18, if we put $1,500, it will be worth, you know, $10,000, $15,000 because of compound interest over time. And they can use that for a down payment on a home or to go to college or for, you know, a business, to open a business. And we had bipartisan support. Because it was part of what was so great about this program is that you could also use it for financial literacy.
Oh,
so like every kid in Wisconsin would get this account and then they could learn about it in high school. Like it wasn't just theoretical, like they could actually see their own account.
That's cool.
And how they could use that to then, you know, improve their purchasing power in the future.
Right. What are the next couple months, I suppose, year? What is that going to look like?
Well, hopefully it's visiting a town near you to your listeners.
Nice.
So we'll be actively traveling the state. I want to make sure that we are going to every county, every community, and listening, sharing kind of our thoughts about how we can make things better. But to me, that's like what this is all about, because folks, I think, want to divide us. And to me, that's like, that's not on the table. Like we are better when we all work together, but you got to show up and build that trust. And so we plan on showing up, whether it's to your fish fry, your brat fry, your corn roast, like count us in. We want to be there.
I will say unequivocally that I think Wisconsin is a better place when you are fighting for us. So, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you stepping forward. I mean, that's a big role. That's as Joe Biden would say, it's a BFD.
Right. Right. Well, we wouldn't want it any other way.
We don't have to bleep that out. But I appreciate you being here. I hope you come back because, you know, we'd love to have an update on how the campaign's going. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark, and we look forward to being back again soon.
Right on. Okay. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, running for Lieutenant Governor. Hope she wins. You're listening to The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Busted Flat in Baton Rouge. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, no notes. Sarah Godlewski, what an awesome person. I knew a little bit about her, and I followed her and what she's done in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm so impressed. And I think it's what's awesome about who she is she's such a genuine person, and she's someone who's like a, you know, she's a gravitational field that can bring people into the orbit of being real and being able to sit down and join a movement. And I think for the future of, you know, the Democratic Party, the this movement, you know, Wisconsin, whatever you want to say, I mean, she will be vital to success in November. And I she needs to be on the ballot. like 1,000,000%. And so I really hope that she is the candidate that we get to vote for. Because if she is, we got a pretty good chance at doing a lot of good things in November. So I again thank you so much to Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and hopefully Lieutenant Governor Sarah Godlewski, because then we can have her back on as Lieutenant Governor. Oh wow, wouldn't that be cool? But no, that was great, and I hope that she continues. I want to talk a little bit about the need for truth and realism a little bit. Last week we had a Republican chairman from the 8th Congressional District. And again, I really appreciate him being here and being available to talk. And I know, you know, I've caught a lot of grief for the discussion, and I know I'll catch more. You know, for, oh, you let him off the hook. Or, yeah, you didn't hit him hard enough. Da, 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 da. If that's what you're here for, you know, I'm not here to make this a blood sport. I'm here to try to bring people into the discussion to talk about things like, hey, maybe people who are in the LGBT community deserve rights. I don't know. Maybe they should have some freedoms and some of the freedoms that my wife and I have. Like, what a novel concept. And you don't get to that point. You don't get to having that agreement by screaming at them in the face. Now, there's a place for that. There's a place for strong debate. There is a place for protests, but there's also a place to come down and turn down the temperature and say, okay, let's talk. That's what I have always been about. I know I've caught grief from people in my own family for, you know, being too soft on issues, or, you know, well, you didn't stand up for this hard enough, or, you know, but it's not that I don't believe in some of the causes that we fight for. But if we want to actually have movement, we can't always be screaming. I look at when I was in the Republican Party, people like loathed Ted Cruz because he did that stupid, do you remember like a long freaking time ago, Ted Cruz became Ted Cruz because he did that dumb, like, speech in front of the Senate for like hours and hours and hours. And but it didn't like actually do anything. It was just Ted Cruz grandstanding for 15 hours over nothing. And it just divided people, and people on both sides of the aisle hated it, you know? And so like, I look at, I don't want to be a Ted Cruz. I can't stand Ted Cruz. I don't want to be someone, you know, I want to be someone who just is not able to bring people together. There are some of my, you know, routine political targets of like people that I don't think do a lot for bringing people together in our area, you know, Andre Jacques or Ron Johnson, not to railroad them or anything, but it's true. You want to be able to be someone that can bring people to the table and say, okay, let's have this discussion. And I hope to have more of those discussions because, you know, and to be fair, I'm still new at this, you know, and that was a new point for me. I will always fight for what's right. And I hope you do too. And there are places for everyone in the fight for equality and justice and freedom and equity. And the more people that we have on that bandwagon, the stronger we are. But when the bandwagon starts saying, hey, you didn't scream as loud as I did, or you didn't say the same things that I say and said, When we start doing that, well, that's when the wheels come off. And if we're going to continue the movement for freedom and peace and equality and all of those things, we have to be able to accept everyone that's there and empower everyone that's there. So just because someone is not saying the same things as you, always remember that those people still are able to bring other people onto the bandwagon. You might not be screaming, but your hand can be down lifting more people on. That's what this show is. That's what I've always done, and I hope you do too. I appreciate you. Let me know what you think. Write us, message us, whatever. Find us everywhere. You get your socials. I'm Mark Becker. You're listening to The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Tell me that it's evolution.
Well, you know. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. If lawmakers on Capitol Hill fail to reach agreement on a government spending plan, there's likely to be a government shutdown beginning October 1st. Both parties are blaming each other for a situation that could leave people without getting their Social Security benefits in the mail. The House passed a stopgap spending measure, but it failed in the Senate. Political congressional reporter Anthony Undragna explains.
I think we've never been closer to a government shutdown. The path forward here to keeping the government open remains less certain than ever before, with just a couple weeks to go.
The White House says a deal to spin off TikTok from its Chinese owners is set to be signed in a few days. Lawmakers had said user data was at risk. CBS's Willie James Inman with more.
Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the White House is 100% confident a deal for TikTok is done and just needs to be signed. In an interview with Fox News,